Mike Reed has a foot in two musical worlds. He does heavy lifting each year to bring bands to the annual music festival hosted by Pitchfork.com. That's an indie rock website. Reed also leads two jazz bands in Chicago. His quartet, People, Places, and Things, has just released its second record. Reviewer Peter Margasek says it's obvious that Reed has been listening to a lot more than indie rock.
It's a wonder Mike Reed has time to get behind his drum kit at all, let alone lead two of the city's best bands. When he's not booking indie rock groups, dealing with agents, organizing travel, or handling logistics for the Pitchfork Festival, Reed turns to his primary love, jazz. While his quintet Loose Assembly plays heavily improvised contemporary music, his quartet People, Places, and Things has always embraced a strong historical current. When Reed started People, Places, and Things, he was determined to pay homage to forgotten or overlooked Chicago music from six decades ago. And indeed, the group's first album focused on tunes associated with the likes of bassist Wilbur Ware, saxophonist John Jenkins, and drummer Wilbur Campbell, quintessential Chicago artists who played on classic recordings yet who never made it big. Their music was at once progressive and timeless, embracing the hard-charging energy and complexity of bebop while retaining the city's trademark blues sound. Reed continues to honor that spirit with his new release, About Us. That's the big, brawny tenor sound of David Boykin, one of Chicago's most fiercely independent and sonically ferocious players. Yet as intense and free as his music can get, he remains deeply connected to jazz's tap root. It's one of several pieces on the new album made with leading lights of Chicago's contemporary scene. After visiting the city's musical past on his debut, Reed uses the new album to focus on pieces written by group members and their guests. Another of those is written by guitarist Jeff Parker, a member of the instrumental rock band Tortoise. From the start, Mike Reed never wanted a repertoire band. He created dynamic new arrangements for the old Nuggets that drew upon a contemporary vocabulary and emphasized intense group interplay between band members. The record title, About Us, refers to the four members of People, Places, and Things. But it also refers to Chicagoans, past and present. And in the music, you can hear those generations coming together to look ahead.
Peter Margasek is a music critic for the Chicago Reader. He was reviewing the album About Us from Mike Reed's quartet, People, Places, and Things.
We're going to hear some music now that evolved partly from the experiences of slaves brought across from Africa to the Caribbean coast of Colombia. It's called cumbia. Most recently, it's migrated to the music scene in Los Angeles. Corey Takahashi caught up with musicians from Colombia and Mexico who are bringing the updated sound of cumbia to the U.S.
This is the signature percussive shuffle of cumbia. And this is how the Colombian band, Bomba Estéreo, modernizes that sound. Liliana Salmet is the group's lead vocalist. She grew up on Colombia's Atlantic coast, and that's where cumbia was born.
I can feel when I sing the cumbia because it's my origin, you know? It's my family, my everything. I think it's just mystical.
Bomba Estéreo is one of the best-known groups performing this new kind of cumbia. And Salmed is a bridge across eras. She's singing like a traditional cantadora one minute and rapping the next. The group's founder, Simon Mejia, plays bass guitar and produces.
It would be nice to say that this whole music we're making is part of a new movement of musicians in Colombia that are exploring folk sounds, not only cumbia, but other rhythms and Pacific rhythms, making a new music cartel from Colombia that is coming out to the world.
Singer Liliana Salmet says that the cumbia she hears outside of Colombia isn't the same as what she grew up with in the coastal city of Santa Marta. It's gone from being a rhythm tied to daily life and ritual to one that's built for dance clubs.
I think it's good. Me gusta. But I think the feeling is different.
It's not hard to figure out why musicians beyond Colombia have co-opted cumbia. The rhythm is a sort of musical silly putty bending to the whim of any performer or region. Antonio Hernandez is a DJ and producer from Mexico. At fiestas around the world, he's a cumbia ambassador who fans know as Toy Selecta. Toy Selecta produced this song in a Mexican cumbia style, piling killer accordion riffs atop standard cumbia percussion. The dreadlock DJ lives in the music center of Monterrey, Mexico, but I caught him at a party near Skid Row in downtown L.A. He says cumbia is part of the genetic code of Latin America. It undergoes a Darwinian evolution everywhere it travels. And he says Mexico has several mutant strains, all of which sound distinct from the Colombian original.
Think about it. It's like, okay, this is a good like example. It's like rhythm and blues being played by English people. That's the type of relation that we got in Latin America.
Toy Selecta uses cumbia in the same way that another DJ might use a hip-hop beat, as a surefire way to fill the dance floor. Ay, this remix, Ay Güey, is an example of one of his newer cumbia concoctions. He released it through the California record label, Berza Discos.
What you're listening, it's a combination of a cumbia, traditional cumbia with accordion sound, but with the Mexican flavor, and what I add is the beat, the really strong kind of beat-driven situation.
As he sees it, this new blend of cumbia is a situation where listeners get two parties for the price of one. For NPR News, I'm Corey Takahashi.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Our engineering supervisor is Kevin Langley. Our technical director is Brian Jarbo. Audio engineers include Ted Mebane, Stacey Abbott, Greg Gavin, Chris Whitfield, Dennis Nielsen, Gary Henderson, Jerry Tennant, Michael Cullen, Melissa Marquis, Kurt Stalniker, and John Widoff.
With Theo Mondel here at NPR West. The executive producer of Morning Edition is Madalie Kasika. Morning Edition's theme music was written by BJ Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Renee Montaigne.
I'm Steve Inske.
Somebody tells you, I love you, and it could change the world. I'm not going all Hallmark on you, I'm just translating. We're playing you this song because it demonstrates one thing that has not changed about France in over 40 years. Johnny Holiday. If you understand who Johnny Holiday is, what Johnny Holiday means to the French, then you can understand why there's a stakeout this week at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. It's an all-French stakeout. Reporters from the French papers and magazines and radio and television stations are all out there. Reporters like Xavier Yvon of the French radio station RTL. The last time he was sent over here was to cover the death of Michael Jackson.
It was like day and night when I arrived here for Michael Jackson, I never saw so many satellite trucks. There was the Polish television and you have all the American media, and it was crazy. And I mean, we have the same, but just for the French. I mean, you are outside of the hospital, it's only the French medias. It's very funny because all the Americans passing by, they know that this is the hospital for you know, celebrities, and they ask who's in on the hospital, who are you talking about? And we say, do you know Johnny Hallyday? You know him? I say, who? Johnny who?
I talk real sweet, I talk real slow, I'm the voice you've loved on the radio.
Johnny Hallyday started out singing Elvis Presley songs in French back in the 1960s. He's now 66, and after back surgery in Paris last month, he came to the U.S., and it turned out he needed a second operation. This was last Wednesday, and his recovery has been rough. He's been at Cedars ever since. He was even put in a chemically induced coma. As Xavier Yvonne told me today, in France, this is enormous news.
It was the headlines everywhere. It was the headlines when he went to the hospital, and it was the headlines when he woke up. Even we have a trade union for journalists saying that it was too much. There are other very important news, and we're just forgetting about it because we're focused on Johnny Hallyday.
Now, it would be noteworthy just that Johnny Hallyday is the biggest rock star in France. But in fact, he has been the biggest rock star in France for 40 years or more than that.
Yeah, it's almost unbelievable. I don't know how he did. When he was young, he was like a handsome guy and very popular with the, you know, young women. And he was married to Sylvie Vartan, and she was, you know, really pretty, beautiful. And they were like the perfect couple. They were glamour. And then he had other wives. And, you know, he was always here with new songs. And I think he has such a popularity. It's because he's like a machine on stage. You know, all the concerts, they are always fully booked. People love to see him on stage because he gives everything. And I think that's why he's so popular.
And he's popular with, he's popular with President Sarkozy, I gather, is a big Johnny Hallyday fan.
Yeah, he's one of his first fan. That's funny that you say that, because I just read on our website, RTL website, that the wife of Sarkozy, Carla Bruni, who, you know, she's a singer as well, she said something, and she said that Johnny was very strong and that he will be on foot sooner than we think.
He'll be on his feet sooner than we think.
Yeah.
Does she know anything, Carla Bruni, or is she just speculating, do you think?
No, she's just speculating.
Just speculating, I see. Yeah. But this is something that presidents and first ladies and everyone talks about in France.
Yeah.
How long do you think you're going to be covering this story in Beverly Hills? Do you get to go home soon?
I don't know. I have a flight on next Saturday, but maybe I'll stay longer. I don't know. I mean, it depends on when Johnny Hallyday will go out of the hospital. Because if the doctor said, okay, it will be 2 weeks, I think I will be back. But if, you know, it's next Monday or Tuesday, I will stay just to cover the story of Johnny Hallyday coming back home and with his two little daughters and his wife.
Xavier Yvonne of RTL, Radio Television Luxembourg, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thanks.
On a tous quelque chose en nous de Tennessee. Cette volonté de prolonger la nuit. Ce désir fou de vivre une autre vie. Ce rêve en nous avec ses mots à lui.
That voice belongs to Nicholas Berachny, a 12-year-old in the boys' choir at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. It's one of the most elite children's choirs, and for them, Christmas means nonstop singing. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty has this profile.
Teen boys, ages 8 to 13, are warming up their voices. They have only an hour between classes at St. Albans School to master pages of music for this night's performance. Among the boys, Nick Barachny, a lanky 7th grader who joined 4 years ago.
When I first started singing, I couldn't sing at all. I just hoped that Mr. McCarthy would teach me how to sing.
Good. Can we find ourselves on page 1? We have to work very, very rapidly, okay?
Mr. McCarthy is Michael McCarthy, the choir director at the National Cathedral. He says polishing young voices is a science, spotting young talent is a hunch.
It's what the look is in the eye. It's how they say hello to you.
We were singing a piece in Latin, and Mr. McCarthy was trying out kids for the solo, and I raised my hand, but I was in fourth grade, and that's unheard of. And I didn't get the solo, but I mean, that's when I realized that I really, really loved singing.
Nick is a sort of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed type of boy, and what comes with that often is the ability to be a fairly fearless soloist. My soul hath
seen. During Christmas season, the boys clock upwards of 15 to 20 hours of practice and performances a week.
It's a bit like training for an Olympic sport, frankly.
And yet Nick, who also plays football and runs track, happily centers his life around music. And he says the music has transformed his view of Christmas.
When you're little, you always think Christmas is just about presents. But then as you grow up, you really figure out what it means to celebrate Christmas, especially when you're singing in the choir.
Come thou, Redeemer of the earth, and manifest thy virgin birth.
It's really about, I don't want to say giving, because then it'll sound really corny. But, I mean, it is about giving, and it's about being thankful for what you have, and pretty much thanking God for saving humanity.
Of course, there are drawbacks to the sublime, jokes from their friends about their high voices, and the dreaded purple dresses.
We wear purple robes down to our feet with black shoes and a ruff that's just like a big poofy white thing that goes around your neck. So it's actually, the first couple times you wear it, it's quite embarrassing.
But all that is forgotten when Nick stands up under the soaring gray ceilings and stained glass of the National Cathedral.
At first, you feel pretty nervous. And then with me, right before I start singing, I get over it because I realize that I can't sing if I'm nervous.
Off stage, Nick's iPod runs to more, well, baby boomer taste, the Beatles, Nirvana, Led Zeppelin, but asked which singer he'd like to be like.
Probably Pavarotti.
So you're not going rock band route, you're going classical route.
Yeah. I've realized as I've gotten older and wiser that it just hurts my voice a lot, just singing that kind of music. And eventually, like what just happened to the lead singer of Metallica, his voice just broke, and he's only 40.
Nick wonders when his voice will break in a different way. The day is coming when he won't hit the high notes.
I'm going to be pretty disappointed when my voice changes, just because I've just grown so used to it. But then I'm also going to be happy, because I don't know what voice I'll have for the rest of my life.
A voice he hopes will make his career. Opera lovers take note. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News, Washington.
You're hearing the National Cathedral Boys Choir on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.